situations. Just like in the CERT program for natural disasters, if you're going to help, you need to be trained to help. You need to be trained in first aid and CPR and all those different things that you may be called upon to do in that situation. So what we're trying to do is prepare you. Now, we always teach you the content of the Bible. We do that every week. But we don't always talk about techniques on how to reach people. And so that's what this class is about. It's about using all that Bible knowledge that Russ has been teaching you for the past however many years and putting it into practice. How do you use it to actually help somebody to see the benefits of becoming a Christian? So, I based it on this verse, Colossians 4, 2 through 6. It says, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly, as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. And let your conversation always be full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. So that's what we're trying to address here, is how to proclaim it clearly, how to act toward outsiders, making the most of every opportunity. We talk about how to have your conversation be full of grace and seasoned with salt. So that's, in a nutshell, what we're trying to do with this class. And the text that I've chosen to help you do that is a very well-known text by Dale Carnegie on how to win friends and influence people. And so, so that's what we've been talking about. We started last week, and we'll continue this week. And the idea is to use his techniques, which were based on salesmanship. He was trying to train people to go out and be good salesmen. And as we're going through these techniques, you're going to recognize some of them from salesmen that you've encountered. Because salesmen today, even 80 years later, are still being trained using these same techniques. And so they're going to be familiar to you, but they're techniques that we can use to sell the message of God, if you want to look at it that way, to be able to convince people that this is in their best interest and be able to help them to see the emergency situation that they're in. Because people that are in this emergency situation don't always even realize it. Okay, so last week, the things that we talked about. The general techniques in handling people. Before we get into specific situations, there were three things that he wanted people to understand in general anytime you're talking to somebody, if you want them to listen to you and if you want to be effective. Does anybody remember any of them? We talked about two last week. The first one was the toughest one for most of us. You did remember after I put it up there. Okay. Oh, you did remember before? You didn't say it. I guess so. Okay. I think that ship has sailed. All right. So, don't criticize, condemn, or complain. Why not? So this takes away about 90% of our conversation some days. So why shouldn't we do these things? People don't want to hear it. If you've ever been around somebody and they're critical or they're complaining about everything, you don't want to be around that person. They're a negative person. They're a negative influence in your life. So why do you want to be that person? It's not a good way to start a conversation with somebody about Jesus. All right? Does anybody remember the second one? It tied in closely with the first one because it was what you do instead of criticizing, condemning, and complaining. Okay, excellent. Giving honest and sincere appreciation. So, how does that replace criticizing or condemning or complaining? So when you have somebody that's doing something that you don't like, what can you tell them? Okay, you criticize it when they do the right... I'm criticizing. You show appreciation for when they're doing the right thing. You do this with your kids a lot of times because you realize when you praise them, it has a lot better effect than whenever you criticize them. So instead of saying, you've got to get in there and clean up that messy room, later on, whenever you can, you know, teach them a little cleanup song and you help them do it, and then you praise them. Say, oh, your room looks so good. You did such a great job. And then they want to do that again, to get that praise again. And so that's just one of the techniques. Is if you're dealing with an employee that's not doing what they want, sometimes it's more effective to praise them when they do what you want. And they'll try to do that more often. Okay, so that brings us to the third one that we want to talk about today. So, let me ask you, what's your favorite food? All food, right, Lynette? That's a lot like it. Juice. What's that? Cardboard with salt. No, you know. I want to know what it is you'd like to eat if there were no calories or no carbs and anything. Chocolate cake. All right. Ice cream. That one's hard to beat. All right. Anybody else? Charlotte, what's your favorite food? Yeah. All right. What about you, Wesley? Fried chicken. All right. So let me ask you, whenever you go fishing, Wesley, do you bait your hook with fried chicken? No, you save that for you. That's right. Okay. So if you go fishing, what do you bait your hook with? With what the fish would want. That is very profound. With what the fish would want. Okay, so whenever you're going to talk to somebody about Jesus, you're fired up about Jesus. You're a Christian. You probably have been for some time. You know the value of having Christianity as the central focal point of your life. The other person does not. So, the idea is, if you want them to be excited about Christianity, then you need to arouse that want in the other person. Not by providing them what you like, not by telling them what you like, but by finding out what it is that they want. What is it that they're looking for? And can Christianity provide that in their lives? Nobody's going to accept the gospel unless they want to arouse that want within them. They've got to want what it is that you have as far as being a Christian. So how do we create that desire? Any thoughts on it? How are you going to know what they need if you haven't let them talk? Right. Okay. All right. And remember that what we're teaching should be seasoned with salt. We just talked about this when we studied Colossians. What did that mean, seasoned with salt? It's a pop quiz on Russ's lesson to see if you remember. Let's get a little more basic first. What does salt do for food? Okay. When Russ eats cardboard, he wants to put salt on it to make it taste better, right? Okay. So now then, let's relate that to Christianity. So now then, go back and what was it you just said?
You don't want
There's not a lot of salt in that, huh? Okay. All right. A little pepper. Okay. That's good. Go ahead, Charles. Talked about last week. This may be your one opening to talk to this person. You've got them in a receptive frame of mind, and so you don't want to mess up this one opportunity, because if you say the wrong thing and you turn them away from Christianity, they may never listen again to you or anybody else. Yeah. Then why should I? Isn't that what salesmen do with you? Isn't that what a salesman does with you? Let me tell you how my product is different in that one that you have or that you are considering as an alternative.
Mm-hmm.
tried it. That's right.
And so, you know, you're not going to see, this is different than what somebody else has. Mm-hmm. And so, they want something different. They can get vanilla anyway. Okay? This is something different.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly right. And this one, because, and I know I've told this story before, but it feels like in my life. Showed me what I really was searching for. When you see the difference, you're going to be really drawn to the better part of it. It's the same thing as being given a choice. You could really choose the one that is the best for you. Well, I hope you would.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I stopped and ate some barbecue one time on my way home from work, and I eagerly dived into it because I was so used to eating Russ's barbecue. I tried this, and it's like, this is not the same. This is not what I'm used to in the way of bar. I had to put salt on this in order to eat it. And it's like, I'm just spoiled now.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'm going to do now. You're selling your trailer. It's really made a hole in my life. I just want to let you know how it affected me. All right. You have a product you can believe in. It's got to be really tough to sell a product that you don't believe in. I mean, you've really got to put on an act whenever you're trying to pretend like your product is better when you know it's not. But in this case, I know, right there beside the Air Force recruiter, and they've got to somehow convince people. Well, their biggest thing is it's easier to get into the Army. So they catch the people looking dejected as they leave the Air Force office. Yeah. Shirt that I said that said visit exotic places and meet exciting people and kill them.
Yeah.
You know, that was their way of selling the Army. So I'm not sure that's the most effective way. But yes. Exactly.
And, yeah. You know, he won his own.
Right. Yeah, you don't want to paint an unrealistic picture. But you've got to be able to show them that lifestyle is worth it. And that's what you're trying to do, whether you're recruiting in the real army or recruiting into the Lord's army. You've got to be honest with people and tell them, you know, that it's not all sunshine and roses, but what you're going to endure is going to be worth it. Be a soldier. There's certain areas that you need to be trained in to go and be a soldier. You don't just have people stick a rifle in your hand and say go out on the battlefield. You go through basic training, and then you go through other types of training that prepares you for the environment that you're going to face. So some of the training even becomes very elaborate, where you've got a whole Middle Eastern village set up out here in the desert. Out in Nevada or something like that, and you go into a very realistic scenario as far as what it is that you're going to do. So with that in mind, I need a volunteer, a brave volunteer. Wesley, all right. I saw your hand move. Don't deny it. All right, come on up. All right. Remember that? Lord, send me. Exactly. There you go. All right. All right. Now, before we start, I'm going to look at those 3 points that are on the slide. All right. I'm your next door neighbor. And we've both been outside doing yard work and stopped the rest and sort of leaning against the fence. All right. And you know that I'm not a Christian. All right. So here's your opportunity. You also know that I'm living with someone that's not my wife. All right? But I'm not a Christian, and I'm a searcher. All right? So
I know that you do.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know that I don't have any kind of spirituality in my life right now. All right. So we'll put down our records and we'll come over here. Hi, Wesley. I'm doing all right. So, what have you been doing? Seems like we work all the time.
Yeah, I was
thinking about taking some time off and going fishing. You were going fishing, I was planning a trip. But I went there, and this church, I mean, you just kind of sat there. You know, you watch this guy, he'd go up and he'd talk for a while, sing these songs. I don't know the song. You know, I don't know how they went or anything. He didn't get it. I pet dogs when I see them, and I give food. I'm a nice guy. Thank you. he follow those three precepts there? Did he violate any of them? All right. And what would have happened if he had? Did you notice what he didn't say? What was wrong in my life? What is it that he already knew that I was doing wrong? Okay. Did he mention that before?
No.
Why not? Because what? It would have caused conflict, right?
And I think the thing is, for not him to tell you it's wrong, but you to discover it's wrong.
Exactly. That's what it is. Because if you just tell people, you know, now we're getting back to condemning. Whenever you tell people up front, now, you know, you can come to church, but let me tell you right now, you've got to move out from that person. I'm probably going fishing on Sunday. I'm probably not going with it. That's something that I'm going to have to come to the realization on my own, that I'm living the kind of life. Because the thing is, it's not just about that I'm living. Right now, there's lots of sin in my life. That's just one of them. So it wouldn't be the right time for him to single out that one thing up here. There's a lot I'm going to have to change in my life. And that's just one of many. But I'm going to have to realize it on my own. So he was entirely correct in not approaching that issue first thing. Because that would have immediately shut down the conversation. Okay. Remember, the whole idea is arousing that want and that desire and letting him see why I should start becoming a Christian. Not give me reasons why I'm already going to resent becoming a Christian. And that's as I first started talking about with the criticizing, condemning, and complaining, this is a habit that we get into. And it's a habit that's not productive whenever we start trying to bring people to Jesus. There's a time and place for that. And that's when somebody already is a Christian brother or sister. Then we have an obligation to bring it to their attention. If we can see a sin that's in their life that may be causing them. Yes. That in a future class, too, about building that common ground with somebody already kind of giving us a preview of that. So I may refer back to that when we get to it. One interesting thing was you didn't mention Bible class at 9:30. Was that a conscious thing? Because I saw, you know,
yeah,
I was.
I thought I was saying something about it, but I did it for, you might not want to get up that early, or might intend to be good. I ain't going to really leave, so I'm not going to make it for it. I'm not going to go down. But if you have a
And the Bible class, depending on what you're teaching, might be geared toward a new Christian. You know, if the teacher knows that somebody is a new Christian, they can try to accommodate that during the course of the class. But other than that, sometimes our Sunday morning classes are geared more toward people that are already Christians. And so it may or may not be helpful depending on the subject matter at the time. If it's something esoteric, you know, when we were going through the book of Revelation, it may or may not have been something that would appeal to a new Christian at that time. So that's good. So it wasn't just that you said, no, we got a lousy teacher right now. You don't know that. All right. just making sure. Okay. All right. Any other?
It puts you at a point where you don't want to get tongue-tied and you don't want to run into a stumbling block. Say something that I might even have said the wrong thing, you know. I just let them know, well, I don't know the answer to that, or I can't answer that, but I can maybe help you find the answer to it, you know.
Yeah, you don't want people to see Christianity as, well, you know, if I don't know all this stuff, I probably can't be a Christian.
Yeah.
You know, I can see you know the Bible really well. It must take years and years of training before they'll let me be a Christian. You know, you...
There's a board that makes this decision.
Exactly. I mean, when you don't know religion,
yeah, no,
you don't know these things. It's all new to you.
And you know what, Dale, too, at I-5 with me, it's totally different with a family member when I'm trying to talk to them.
Mm-hmm.
Because they really make you mad. With some of the stupid stuff that they be saying.
You're not as nice to family members, I've noticed, as you are to strangers.
Not this one, but some of them, because you want the best for them, they don't even, I be going, I can't do it with some family members. I be trying, so I just take myself out of the equation with them for a while until I have to pray about it. Because some family members just take me to another level. And I'd be like, what am I not doing right?
They're probably pushing your buttons because they know you'll back off and they don't have to hear anymore.
Yeah, that's like familiarity breeds contempt. Sometimes it's easier for somebody that's not as personally involved to deal with that
person. Because family members that I really, really want them to change how they live and the things that they do. I want to be able to do it with them like I do it with a stranger.
Okay. And the things we're going to be talking about in this class, what works with family as well as strangers or friends.
Yeah, sometimes you're just not that person to be that
person.
That's
true.
You pray that somebody will come their way. The Lord will send somebody their way, you know.
If it's not me, send somebody.
Yeah.
You know.
And it may be that you can identify the person that should go, you know, to say, I haven't had any luck, but I think you may can connect with this person better because of your background or, you know, whatever it is.
And especially if a sister or a brother grew up together, or a son or a daughter.
Right, that's true.
I know when Chris and Christina got married. Chris was a full-blown Baptist boy. And he would tell you he was so much trying to get Christina to come over to him, and Christina was trying to get him to come here. And he would come up with all these questions, and she said, you know what, you need to really talk to my dad. And he started... We had a general conversation with him and all of this. And he started to ask questions like, why don't you have a piano? Or make music, because the church he goes to, they have like a whole orchestra up there and everything. And so Mike said, you know what, let's go in the kitchen and open up the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about that. And so he pointed that out, and then... Then he came with, why do you partake of the Lord's Supper every Sunday? Doesn't that get monotonous? So Mike again went to the Bible and made him read it. He wouldn't read it to him. He made him read it. And following Sunday, Chris went to his preacher at the Baptist church, and he said, why are we doing this? And why are we not doing this? And he couldn't get a right answer to him, and then he told the preacher, then he said, I'm sorry if you can't give me an answer for this. And I know what the Bible says, I can no longer come here. And that's how he, it wasn't Christina, and it wasn't Mike. It was the Lord's work that convicted him.
Okay. All right. All right. Thanks for your participation there, Wesley. Charles, would you close us in a prayer?